Okay, let's go over a new lesson now, lesson number 116. We're still on the five steps of success. I call this step one, hear God's word. What we're going to do now is go over these five steps. So, real quickly, the five steps of success we covered last week is number one, hear God's word on any subject that you're trying to develop faith in. Then be strong and courageous and keep moving ahead when adversity and problems arise that try to come against what you heard. Number three is similar, stay on course, or said Joshua, don't turn to the right or to the left, because there'll be distractions that'll come. Number four, you're going to need to meditate, think on, ponder, and keep saying what you heard, so you don't forget what you must do, because it's not completed until we finally do what God's word says do. Now, tonight I want to major on step one, which is hearing God's word. And what I'd like to do is kind of build a little foundation here before we get started and show what Jesus really spent his time doing. Because if you ask most Christians, most people, what did Jesus spend his time doing? They'll go say, working miracles and doing all this. And he did that, but that wasn't the main thing he did. Let's go into the Word and find out what the main thing the Father and Jesus were interested in. And let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Let's see, where do we start tonight? Which way did we start last week? This way? Okay, let's, Danielle, why don't you read verse 23?
And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people.
Okay, Danielle, what three things primarily does this verse tell us Jesus was involved in doing in this verse?
Teaching, preaching, and healing.
Teaching, preaching, and healing. That was what Jesus did. He taught, he preached, and he healed. This is the way the Holy Spirit decided to sum up, in this verse, Jesus' ministry. Let's turn now to Matthew 9:35. We're just going to stay in Matthew. I think once we finish with three verses in Matthew, you'll see it's pretty consistent. Jesus taught, Jesus preached, Jesus healed. Matthew 9:35. And Matt, would you read verse 35?
Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
What three things does it say there that Jesus did?
Teaching, preaching, and healing.
Jesus taught, Jesus preached, and Jesus healed. Now, most people know about Jesus' healings, and they know about Jesus' miracles. He turned water into wine. He walked on water. He did some amazing things, raised people from the dead. But whenever the Holy Spirit sums up what Jesus did, besides the healing in there, and the miracles aren't even mentioned, it says Jesus taught, Jesus preached, and Jesus healed. Let's get one more witness. Marianne, read Matthew 11:1.
After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee.
Jesus did what there? Jesus
taught and preached.
Jesus taught and he preached. What's, anybody know the difference between teaching and preaching? I mean, any ideas on that? I used to think they're probably the same, but they're not the same really. Otherwise, it would say Jesus taught or Jesus preached. It wouldn't say both together in there. The fact that they put both in the same verse means they're different. Yes, Steve?
Doesn't preaching actually lean towards exhortation?
Preaching's got more of an exhortational flair to it. It's more of what to do. Mm-hmm. Where the teacher teaches more on why and how you do it. Okay? A preacher is more of an inspirational or a... They have more of a... I don't want to say shouting exactly, but they get more wound up, it seems like. They're more more of an exhortation, as Steve said, more of a flamboyant type of, you must do this, we need to be doing this, you must go out and get the lost saved and all this. Whereas the teacher is more of a, you know, A, B follows A, and C follows B, and lays it out and says, this is why you do these things, this is how you do these things. Whereas the preacher is more or less, I'm not so interested in how, I'm just telling you what you need to do, and they get all, you know, and both are needed. And Jesus did both on occasion, okay? But you know, you've noticed more, I'm more of a lay it out type of thing, point A, point B, point C, that's what the teacher does primarily.
Isn't preaching to be for everybody, whether it's unsaved or
right.
Christian or
church? Uh-huh.
And then
right.
The teaching, then you get to go to the Bible study that's where you're at.
Right. The preacher has a broader, goes to the unsaved as well as to the Christians, whereas the teacher mostly is just to the Christians. Because what's the point of teaching a bunch of unbelievers? The only thing you need to teach them is how to get saved. And the teacher will do that. He will lead people to the Lord, but then he will go on, and his heart really burns toward bringing believers along, seeing their progress, getting them to progress. Both are needed, of course. And so Jesus did both. Jesus taught, and Jesus preached, and Jesus healed. Now, we've heard a lot about healing. In fact, we had one series that took 16 tapes on healing. I'd like to talk a little bit about the preaching and teaching and why Jesus did so much teaching and preaching. But before we do that, let's go and find out what Jesus' purpose was in teaching. If Jesus was doing a lot of teaching and preaching, he must have had a reason, right? What was that purpose? What was that reason? Everything Jesus did, he did to accomplish something. Let's find out what his purpose was. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to ask Eunice to read when we get there.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Okay, do you see a purpose in there? For this purpose, Jesus was manifested. He came to do what, Eunice?
Destroy the works of the devil.
Destroy the works of the devil. And since Jesus spent so much time doing what two things were we just talking about? Teaching and preaching, he must have figured that if he taught and preached, somehow this would help destroy the works of the devil. Okay, that makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, so the Father and Jesus never do anything without a purpose. Everything they did was to accomplish something. And we know that Jesus did what the Father wanted him to do. He did the Father's will. And so his purpose was the same as the Father. He taught, he preached, and he did it what? One reason was, at least, to destroy the works of the devil. Now let's turn to John chapter 10 and see another purpose why Jesus came. John 10, and we're all very familiar with this verse, John 10, verse 10. And most of you can quote that just from me saying John 10:10, but let's read it anyway. Okay, Chuck, would you read verse 10, please?
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
You see some purpose in that statement as well? What did Jesus say? I am come what? That they might have
life
and have it more abundantly. Before that, he mentions the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So Jesus is really back to that same purpose again. Remember, he came to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. And Jesus starts this off saying, the thief comes for this. This is what Jesus came to stop. He came to provide a way of stopping the thief from stealing, killing, and destroying by giving man life, that they might have it more abundantly. So you see purpose here. You see a purpose why Jesus came. Now, if he went about, and this was his purpose, if you had a certain purpose, and you came, and this is Jesus, then if you looked at his actions, wouldn't you conclude that his actions must have been to accomplish these purposes? Somehow, his preaching and teaching must have been to accomplish the purpose of destroying the devil's works and to bring about life more abundantly for the people. Okay, since Jesus spent so much time preaching and teaching, he figured this would be a way to stop the devil. But just how does preaching and teaching accomplish this? What is the purpose of preaching and teaching? So let's take a look at some more scriptures. All right, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 16. The reason we're doing this, if we don't understand the purpose of why we must do certain things, we place little value on them. You know, if you tell somebody, I want you to do this, and if it's a little bit hard, it's a little bit easier to get people to do things if you explain why they're doing it. I sometimes think it would have been a lot easier in school if some of the teachers would have explained why we're learning some of these things instead of just This is arithmetic. This is your homework. They would explain a little bit about how this might be used later in life, because I hear kids say all the time, I don't know why I'm taking this in school. I'll never use it. Well, if some adult would say, sure you will. This is how you use math. You know, you got to balance your checkbook. You've got to decide whether you want to take a loan out or not. You've got to know what interest rates mean. You've got to be able to calculate how much you're going to pay for the privilege of having this money now rather than later.
Figure out how to measure things in recipe, cook.
Right.
Figure out how to measure yarn to put on a loom.
Yeah, you're going to have to know fractions and stuff like that and convert things from fractions into feet and yards and inches and all this kind of thing. You know, I think if kids just knew a little bit more of why they do certain things, you know, you tell your kid, go clean your room. And they stomp upstairs or wherever it is to clean their room. But why do you have them clean their room? Well, for one reason that I can think of right away is later in life, they're going to be homemakers or husbands of homemakers. And, you know, it's a lot nicer if you've learned how to keep something nice when you're young. You'll be neater later in life. Also, if you work for somebody and you have a work area, and if it's always messy and sloppy and your boss has to keep coming by, clean this area up, clean this area up. You know, if you tell kids, this is why I'm having you clean your room, or I find in being a track coach, you know, I tell kids, okay, today we're going to have a hard practice. We're going to run 400s. They hate running 400s because it's fast enough that you're quite breathless when you finish, but it does build up your endurance. And it also gives you a sense of pace. So when you run a race, you don't go out too fast or too slow. I'll have them run a certain pace just for one lap in the track so that they can learn how to run efficiently in the race. If I explain to them, this is the reason we're doing this, it doesn't really make it easier, but at least their mind quiets down and says, this is why I'm doing this. It's going to help me. But if I don't tell them, it's gripe and complain time. So, you know, things, we need to know a purpose. You know, and I think it occurred to me that I've been probably teaching the Bible for almost 35 years. And I don't know that I've ever covered in detail. Well, I guess we did have one series of lessons here a while back about God's Word. But if you tell people what the purpose is of hearing the Word, then I think it if you spell it out definitively, then people are more, they go, yeah, I made progress tonight. This is why I went. So let's talk about what Jesus' purpose was. Mark 16:16. We're going to learn the purpose of hearing God's word. Because why? Jesus preached. And he did it to fulfill a purpose, which was destroying the works of the devil. We're going to find out just how this works. So Mark 16:16, if I can find it here. I'm petting Buddy with one hand and finding the scriptures with the other hand. It keeps him quiet at least. Okay, whose turn is it to read? Okay, Steve, would you read verse 15 and 16?
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.
Okay, there's that word preach, isn't it? Jesus is telling us, isn't he? And he's telling disciples here, but it applies to us as well, doesn't it? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then in the next sentence he says, why? What does he say? He that what, Steve?
Believes.
He that believes will be saved. The purpose of preaching and teaching is to produce and form beliefs in people. It's that simple. Without the preaching and teaching of God's word, there'll be no beliefs in God's word. All the beliefs will be based upon the world's teaching, which will mean people will form their opinions on how to do things based upon what the world says. So Jesus spent all his time preaching and teaching and tells us to go out and preach and to teach to primarily to form beliefs in the people. There's also another reason, but I want to focus on the first reason, to form beliefs. Isn't it why you teach your children? To form beliefs, you know? Why do you teach your children? Don't say that. You know, it's wrong to say but or some of the other CRAP. I mean, I hear that a lot anymore. When I was a kid, my parents told me that you don't say that word. That's a bad word, you know. Nowadays, I hear it all the time, you know. But that produced belief in me as a young person that that was a word that I was to avoid. Now, did I always avoid it? No. But I had a belief that that was a bad word, and I better not say it around mom and dad at least, okay? I mean, that formed a belief. If you go to school and you take algebra or geography or something, it forms beliefs, like in geography. Well, you know, across the ocean, if you go far enough, there's a country called France over there, and beside it, there's a country called Spain, and down to the southeast of that is a country called Italy. You get an idea. You form beliefs in things. I mean, it's very simple, really. But God sent Jesus around preaching and teaching to form basically new beliefs in people because they hadn't heard these words before. And he wanted them to start exchanging some beliefs they already had for some new beliefs. And that's why we're having this Bible study tonight. One of the two reasons is to form beliefs. Now, I look back, and I'm no, in no way flattering myself because you've had a lot of other teaching as well. But if I look back 3 or 4 years when I first met some of you, I dare say you were different people in many respects. You didn't have some of the beliefs formed in you that you have now. And how did those beliefs come? By hearing the Word of God on certain subjects. I mean, before we hear the Word of God, our beliefs are all based upon the world's teaching system. We've heard certain things. This is the way things work. Basically, the Bible calls this getting your mind renewed. Because when you come into this, you come in with a lot of beliefs based upon world-based truths, so-called truths, or what you hear on TV, or what the doctor says if he diagnoses something, that's the last word on it. But we're finding out that's not the last word. You know, you've had teaching over many years now, and you form some new beliefs so that based on God's word, so that when crises come in our lives, when the storms of life hit, we know what to hear, we know what we've heard, and then we know what to do. Okay? And, you know, you can look back and you say, well, this is elementary. But if you just look back over the last many years, you can see the changes, I think. I mean, I would dare say that there's some in this room that thought if sickness came, it might be God's will. Maybe this is God's way of teaching me. Maybe he's putting this on me to teach me something or keep me humble or who knows what. Because we've heard those things from the world. But when you get into God's word and hear about what God's word has to say, that Jesus gave us types and shadows in the Old Testament, the brazen serpent, the Passover lamb that showed that God's will was healing. If you look up on the serpent, you shall be healed. And we found that serpent was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when you look on him and you know that by Jesus' stripes you were healed, and that Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sickness, and that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, which included every sickness and every disease, and that Jesus always healed all, and what Jesus said and what he did backed up the fact that he didn't want any sick. He healed everyone that ever came to him. Then you replace that old belief with a new belief based on God's word that says God doesn't want you sick. He wants you healed. I mean, that right there goes a long way toward the believing to receive healing when you're prayed with or when you decide to claim it for yourself, just knowing God's will is healing. Okay, and so you've replaced some of the old beliefs you've had. You can see this works. And so Jesus went about preaching and teaching to form beliefs in the people. Let's take a look at Acts. Let's get another witness here. Let's just see how this works. I don't think it's any accident that the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible the way he did. We see in Mark 16:16, Jesus said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth shall be saved. So right away we see that we need to preach the gospel so people can believe something. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Let's see. Sydney, is it your turn to read, please?
This is while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard the message believed it, so the number of believers now totaled about 5,000 men, not counting women and children.
Okay, now look here. You hear what Sidney said? They spoke unto the people, And what did that do? It brought out adversaries, didn't it? Adversaries arrived on the scene. Because Satan knows that this hearing the word will produce other beliefs in the people than he wants them to have. And so he stirs up all these people. And they're grieved that they what? In verse 2. Why were these people grieved that came upon them?
Because of Jesus' teaching.
Because of Jesus' teaching. Because he taught the people. Satan doesn't like that. He doesn't want the people to be taught. That's why Jesus, that's how he destroyed Satan's works, didn't he? Remember, he came that he might destroy the works of the devil? So he went about preaching and healing. Well, here, Jesus, they preached what Jesus had said. And here come the Sadducees out of the wall, you know, to stop that. Because Satan's trying to stop. His kingdom is falling down around him. Because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And now they're preaching and teaching the people. And so they were grieved. And they laid hands on him and put him in jail until the next day. Howbeit, many of them which heard what?
The word.
The word. What did they do?
They believed.
They believed. The purpose of preaching and teaching the word is to produce beliefs in the people. And that's the way people get free. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And then what will happen? And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Free of what? Free of the devil's dominion anymore. Go ahead, Steve.
When we don't know God's word and we believe basically the devil's lie, it puts us in a bondage.
Right.
When you go back into, what is it, Luke 4:18, where Jesus came into the temple,
mm-hmm.
and he says, you know, he came to set the captives free, to release those that were in bondage, and
right.
so on and so on through that.
Isn't that what this verse just said? John 8:31 and 32. If you continue in my word, then are you my
disciples.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall
make you free.
Make you free of this bondage. See, you're going to destroy the devil's works. That's exactly what Steve was saying here. So Jesus went about teaching and preaching, and that was right in line with why he came, which destroyed the devil's work. So people could replace their old false beliefs and things that they thought. But Satan doesn't take it lying down, does he? He sent people here to put them in jail and everything. However, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number was about 5,000. Satan is in a losing battle here. He's losing the battle, but he still fights back. Okay, let's look at another witness. Let's turn on to Acts chapter 15, and we'll read verses 5 through 7. And Danielle, we're back to you again.
But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us, with the Gentiles, by my mouth, to hear the word of the gospel and believe.
Okay. Now, listen to what she said there. In verse 5, she said, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. They had heard the word and believed, okay? But they said that it was also needful to circumcise believers and to keep the law of Moses. So they were believers, but they still had some of their old beliefs mixed in there, didn't they? So what did they need to do? They needed to replace some old beliefs with some new beliefs. And if you go on and read the rest of this chapter, it ended up sending all these people back to Jerusalem to get direction from the elders of the church on what to do about this situation. Even though Paul knew it wasn't right, he wanted to get permission because this was such an ingrained part of their religion that circumcision and keeping the law of Moses. But see, if you say you have to keep the law of Moses also to be saved, what are you really saying? You're saying that Jesus' atonement wasn't enough, aren't you? And Paul wanted to stop that. But he had to go back and explain to the church at Jerusalem all what this really meant. And they finally sent a letter out saying, yeah, this what Paul's preaching is correct. Because these people were battling. These two truths were butting heads. So not only does hearing God's word produce new beliefs, it also helps replace old beliefs that were false. Okay? And sometimes that's necessary. Have you ever been to the point where you heard something new and it contradicted something you already thought was true in your life and you had to decide what to believe? I think we've all been there. I know I was. I grew up in a church that always said this was the only true church. And then I got saved, and everything in the Bible never mentioned this church at all. You know, and so I came to a crisis. And a lot of my fellow people in this denomination didn't know what to do. So they're still spending half their lives walking this fence, half in they're believers, but they're still in half in the old thing, thinking they've got to do all these other things that were in this church's denomination said you had to do for your salvation. And it's just a mess. And they're always mixed up. They don't know what they believe, really. Whereas I finally had to come to a line of demarcation, say enough of this church, even though I grew up in it, doesn't believe what I see and hear, and I had to replace some beliefs that weren't compatible with my new beliefs. But that's why the word is so necessary. It will produce the beliefs that we need when we hear it. Okay, I think that's enough witnesses to show that beliefs are formed when we hear God's word. Now let's find out a little bit more on just how this happens. Turn to Romans chapter 10, and let's read there. Romans chapter 10. And Matt, would you read verses 13 through 17, please?
Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord who has believed our report. Who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Thank you, Matt. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I mean, I don't know how many times I've said that in the Bible study, but I think it can be explained a little bit better if you think about hearing the word of God forming beliefs, plural. In other words, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. If you talk about beliefs coming by hearing the word of God, that's basically the same thing. However, it implies there's more than one belief. Whereas faith is not plural. But the thing about it is that there's all kinds of beliefs that you get from the Word of God, not just one. Now, we're talking about salvation here. So faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But a belief specific to a certain area is formed by hearing the Word of God in that area. So you can have great faith in salvation, but very low faith in God wanting you to prosper, if you haven't heard the word on God wanting you to prosper, so you could form some beliefs in that area. And I think we've all seen believers that have been believers, you know, maybe 30, 40, 50 years even, that, they're revered at the church, but they die maybe of some disease, and then nobody can figure out why. They were such a good person, and they've been saved all these years, and they were just a saint of God. But what if they had great faith in salvation, but very low faith in God's willingness to heal them? You know, see, beliefs, more than one. And it depends on hearing the word of God in many, many areas, in very many topics. That's why I like to teach the Bible topically, so that we don't just go through one chapter a night or three chapters a night, but we develop faith in areas, you know. Right now, we're developing faith in coming to hear God's word. You know, by the time we're done, you're going to have, I dare say, an even more of an appreciation of what you get out of when you just hear God's word, even though you don't know maybe at the time it's happening. It's like a seed. Didn't we find that out? And it goes in there and it grows when somebody sows these seeds. So now let's listen to what he says here. When Matt read this, he read it in the order of the verses given in the Bible, but it's in reverse order of how they happen in a believer's life. Okay? In other words, it starts off with the final result and then goes down through how it got there. I'd like to start back, and let me read it this way. Let me ask you this question, okay? And I want answers from you. And I'm going to deal in verses 13 and 14, but I'm going to start at the end here. Without a preacher, how will they What does it say?
Yeah.
Right. That's, I want to hear everybody say it. Without a preacher, how they'll lay... We're reading backwards through the verse.
Here.
Without hearing, how shall they...
Believe.
Without believing, how shall they...
Call.
Without calling, how shall they be...
Saved.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the order it occurs in. Now, let's go to that one more time. Without a preacher, how shall they... do it again. Without a preacher, how shall they...
Hear.
Right, that's what a preacher does. He preaches. Mm-hmm. Without hearing, how shall they...
Believe.
Without believing, how shall they...
Call.
Without calling, how shall they...
Be saved.
See, the end result is to get this person saved, right? In this example, at least. That's the beliefs we're talking about. Without a preacher, they're not going to hear. That's why Jesus went about preaching and teaching. Why? He was a preacher, wasn't he? He wanted them to hear. And then when they hear, then they can what? What's the next thing in the chain? Believe. That's what we're talking about. The purpose of preaching is to form beliefs in the people. And once you've got a belief formed, then you can call upon the Lord. That's doing the word. And then you can be saved. But none of this takes place without first forming the beliefs through hearing the Word of God. Now, here's another interesting thing to think about. If we don't hear the Word of God, and even if we're Christians, we've heard the Word of God in this one area here. We've heard a preacher, and we believe what the preacher said, and we've called on the Lord, and we got saved. Okay, now, here we are, we're saved. But let's say that we haven't heard topically some of these other areas on prosperity, on marital relationships, on how to raise your children, on what to do when sickness comes. Okay? You can have a bunch of Christians who, even though they're saved, look nothing different than the world, to the world. I mean, they go through the same trials. I mean, you're all going to have trials, but they go through the other side and are defeated at the same rate as the world is. And I think that really displeases God, because He's provided through His Word a way to have victory in all these areas. And really, that's my assignment, if you want to get right down to it. That's what God gave me as my assignment. My little assignment in life is to go around bringing these truths out to people so they can form beliefs in other areas besides salvation. My calling, if you want to call it that, is to the believers. I'm supposed to minister to believers. That's why I've got an online Bible school. It's for believers. The first thing I ask them on their application is, are you a believer? If you're not, here's how you get saved, because this is not going to make any sense to you unless you're a believer. Okay? Once you're a believer, then the Holy Spirit can witness to these truths to your spirit. Okay? And so the whole goal of all I'm doing online is to form beliefs in people. I have one woman on there right now who was a Mormon. And she is just overjoyed. And she keeps making little errors in the homework in areas that have to do with works, you know. And I keep correcting that and sending detailed emails back. And she's very, very, very teachable. She says, it's just all this experience I've had. And nothing comes unless you work hard for it. You know, my question's like on the homework on eternal life. When true or false, when we get to heaven, we'll have eternal life, but not before. True. Then I have to go back and explain, no, you have eternal life now. You accepted Jesus. Yes, I have. And showed her the scriptures. And it took me days of pretty meticulous work with her. I mean, she was sending in homework like crazy. But finally, we got to the other side, and she just said, I never knew all this stuff before. Thank you so much for telling me this. She says, I feel like I've had blinders on almost my whole life. And she says, Mormon religion blinded me to these things.
How did she get saved?
Well, she had gotten saved, but she was like so many of the rest of us. She still had, like she said, things hanging on. Even though she was a child of God, she had all this works mentality still hanging on. All this never enough you could do to please God. All this God was just out to get you kind of thing, you know, and we're working our way through that. Unless you hear these things, and it wasn't anything I was doing. I was just pointing her to the scriptures, forming new beliefs. And that's all these people need. See, that's why Jesus wants to spend all this time teaching and preaching. Because these people, they said, we've never heard a man talk like this before. That's why he was doing it. All new to them, you know. He was forming new beliefs in the people. He was teaching and preaching to form new beliefs and to replace beliefs they already had. Now, did it always work? No. Some of the people heard him and started to stone him. And it had to do with whether their heart was open to these new beliefs or whether they were going to let, wait a minute, I'm a Pharisee, my whole future's tied up in this rank that I've earned all these years and being in this thing, and I'm not going to let this guy come in here and upset my apple cart. And so that was more important to them than hearing truth. They wanted to hang on to their old job. And it said all the way through, they were moved with jealousy. You know, like what he was doing was rendering what they were doing as invalid, which it rightly should, because they were all based on works and all these washings and all these kind of things. And Jesus was coming with a whole new kingdom philosophy. And so we see here that without a preacher, you're not going to hear. Without hearing, you're not going to be able to believe. Without believing, you're not going to be able to call. Without calling, you're not going to be able to be saved. And you could go down through the same sequence in every area of prosperity. Without a preacher, how will they hear? Without hearing, how will they believe it's God's will for them to prosper? Without hearing God's will for them to prosper, how are they ever going to believe for prosperity or call on God for help at time of need? And without calling on it, how are they ever going to receive it? I mean, you could take this for any subject. And as we get light on these subjects, and you begin to hear God's truth on these subjects, you can build up individually faith. I see it as a bar chart, sort of like, you know, you've got all kinds of subjects down here on the bottom. And you've got one real high one here on salvation. Dong, dong, I know all about that one. I'm a believer. I know that Jesus died for my sins, just like we're reading here. But then low in some other areas, higher in some other areas. But what God wants us to do is to take advantage of all those redemption benefits, get our faith built up in these other areas as well, so when something comes, we don't just fold. We take advantage of what he's done. Now, the only way we're going to do this, we're going to find out later, I'll just give you a peek, that we're going to find out that even though we believe certain things and we have beliefs formed in certain things, we need to have those beliefs strengthened. Because some people, even though they believe certain things, don't have a strong enough belief yet to support action in their life. I mean, for example, how can I give an example that would be good? Well, for example, a guy might think, you know, if I exercise more, if I might believe that exercise would help me to have a healthier lifestyle than just sitting in front of the tube every night, okay? I mean, I might believe that, but do I believe it strong enough to support action? See, there's a whole, that's called doing the word. But that's why people need their beliefs strengthened. You know, we could go into other areas, which I won't go into, but we need our beliefs strengthened to the point where we see it so clearly. This is what I must do. My belief is strong enough to support action in that area. It's important. I thought I had certain things pretty well under control. You know, I'm convinced, and this is a little jump into the future of what we're going to be talking about in the future here, but I am convinced that in this verse it says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hearing once, God is trying to get it across. It's not enough. You're going to need that belief that you formed on hearing it strengthened before it's going to support action. And, you know, you read another place that Paul sowed and Apollos watered. What does that simply mean? Paul established and formed beliefs in the people, and Apollos came along behind strengthening those beliefs in the people. Once wasn't enough. That's watering the seed. You know, I went down to visit my brother in Mississippi when he had this open heart surgery. I believe that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, that Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sickness. I know that. I've taught it. I went down there and saw all the stuff that was going on, heard the doctors talking to him, heard what caused him to be in this position, him being overweight, him high cholesterol, not exercising enough, heard all these things, heard many times the doctors ask him about his parents, how they died, dad died of a heart attack, mom died of a heart attack, heard them say to him, then it's in your family, it's in the genes, it's coming through the family because they're going to have the same problem. You know, and as I got down there and heard all this stuff and heard the doctor saying it, and I mean, it was like a big black cloud that started coming over me down there. And I thought, I've never experienced this feeling like this before. And it was just hearing so many other opinions about all of this that didn't match, and I wasn't getting any strengthening from what this says. I finally went up, and as I went to bed that night, I opened the Bible in my room where I was staying in my brother's house. And I started reading some of these scriptures again. Great peace came over me as I read these truths from the Bible. See, I was strengthening the beliefs that I already had. I mean, because I was hearing other things. Now, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't get checkups, don't do this, don't do that. Now, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying that fear that comes, oh boy, this is going to come on me, that's not of God, okay? That idea that you're going to have to go through all this, dude, that's not of God. I mean, I had to go back and get and have my beliefs strengthened. Then the peace came again, you know. God's word brought that all back. See, those truths then were replacing all this stuff I'd heard all day long. And it was just sloughing off. Because when God's word comes in, it comes in with power. The other word of the world does not have the same power. Remember, it says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. There's a Holy Ghost witnessing power in your spirit when you hear the word of God that you don't get from hearing the word of the world. What you get from hearing the word of the world is a lot of head knowledge stuff that battles what you already have in your spirit a little bit, to the point where your head starts going, oh my goodness, until you finally get that word back here again, and then that stuff comes up from the inside and says, it's okay. You're doing just exactly what you need to be doing.
Well, it tries to produce fear and confusion.
Right.
It tries to.
Just like we read here, didn't we read here? As soon as the word came, all the Pharisees came rushing out of the woodwork to stop this preaching, stop this, you know. The enemy doesn't like his works being destroyed. But Jesus preached and Jesus taught to destroy those works. Okay. I spent a little bit too much time on that. The only other point I want to get across tonight is that any belief formed will always be specific to the hearing. A lot of, I've talked to some Christians, they say faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Once you get that faith in salvation, you've got faith. That's true, but it's only salvation faith, you know. I mean, not only, I don't mean to belittle it. It's great and it's wonderful. It's necessary to become a Christian. But any belief form is always be specific to the hearing. And I'd like to take an example here and go back to Mark chapter 5 and read that quickly. How are we doing time-wise, honey? Do you have any feel for that? How long have we been teaching here? In good shape? Okay. I don't want to go too long. Do you see in whose turn is it to read? Marianne, would you read verse 27? And we're talking about the woman with the issue of blood.
When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she said, "By just touch his clothes, I will be healed."
Okay. Now, we've read that for years, haven't we? She came in the press to touch his garment, for she said, "If I may touch his clothes," she said, we always teach on the saying, we always teach on the fact that Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith has made you whole," and we spend a lot of time on the saying and the fact that she had faith. But what we don't spend a lot of time on is, where did her faith come from? What did Marianne just read in verse 27? When she had what of Jesus?
Heard
of Jesus. The faith that she had to touch his garment came from hearing something. Now, she had a very specific faith there, didn't she? She had faith that when she touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch his garment, I shall be whole." That was the one thing in her mind. Not that Jesus was coming to her house, nothing else, nothing that Jesus would turn around and recognize her. She just said, "If I touch his garment, I'm going to be healed." That was what she had in her head. And she had that faith because she heard something about Jesus. Did you know? And if you'll go back, and I don't want to take the time now, but if you'll read Matthew 14:36, Luke 6:19, and Luke 8:43, you're going to see that before this ever happened, Jesus had already had people touching his garments at another place, becoming healed when they touched his garments, and virtue went out of him. When she heard that happening about Jesus, she was sure that's what she wanted, because that's what she had heard, and her belief was formed on that. Now, I could go to those scriptures, but I'm going to let you do that, because if you want to take the extra time, we can go there. But it talks about other people coming up and touching his garments and being healed. And then in Luke, we find out where it says that happened. We find out the same account of this woman in another in Luke's gospel after that. Not before, after. So I'm convinced that she heard. That's what she heard. When she heard of Jesus, when she heard that people touched Jesus' cloak and were healed, and that's all they did, and that's what it said, many were healed when that happened. She said, if I do that, I'm going to be healed. She'd heard that. When she heard that, she formed a belief, a specific belief, not just a general belief. Her belief was very specific to what she heard. She heard people touched his garment and got healed. That was her specific belief. I got to touch his garment and be healed. I have a hunch that if Jesus had turned around and laid his hands on us and be healed, she said, hey, I got to touch that garment. Because that's where her faith was right then. I got to touch that garment and be healed. That's the way I saw all my friends. That's what I heard about. That's what's going to heal me. I got to touch that garment. Okay, one more before we quit. We're still in Mark chapter 5. So I want to just, I'll read this one myself to make it go a little quicker. Verse 22. Behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogues, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, now this is what he said, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, talking to Jesus, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Now this was his belief was formed. He had heard that Jesus was laying hands on people and they were getting healed. So his belief is formed about the fact that if Jesus will come to his house for his little daughter that lies at the point of death, she shall live. And what did Jesus say in verse 24? He didn't say anything. What Jesus said in his mind, I'm convinced, was, that's good enough for me. I mean, he didn't have to say anything. The man had said it all. He said, if you'll come to my house, so what did Jesus turn around and do? He didn't say anything. He just started toward the guy's house. If that's where that guy's belief lays, that's where we're going. That guy believes this. I've got to do something that will foster that belief that he has from whatever he's heard this about me. I've got to go and lay my hands on this little girl because that's where his belief is. That's what works. Anything else isn't going to work. If Jesus said, just lay your hands on me in proxy and we'll heal her that way, you know, he knew what this man was believing for. But even though the woman laid her hands on him, that was where her belief was. Jesus was always going where people's beliefs are. According to your belief, be it unto you.
Yeah.
Your belief, not my belief. Jesus hears a statement of faith. Come to my house, she'll be healed. Lay your hands on her. So Jesus doesn't say a word, doesn't correct anything, doesn't say anything, just turns and starts toward his house. Then he gets interrupted by the woman. But we're going to skip that because we just talked about that. Picking up here again in verse 35. And while he was yet speaking to the woman, the woman with the issue of blood, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble you the master any further? I mean, I could spend time on that strange statement too about these people's motives and saying something like that. But what they said was, thy daughter is dead. Why are you troubling this man? Now, Jesus speaks. Why? Because hearing forms beliefs. The man already has a belief established that's just fine with Jesus. Jesus is going to his house and lay his hands on that little girl. Because that man said, when you do, she shall be healed. Jesus can agree with that. Now we have a new thing entering the story. We have another person saying something. And this person says, your daughter's dead. Now this man has another hearing in his ear that he could possibly form a belief with that would contradict what he originally said. Now this, I love this. As soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, he said, be not afraid, only believe. In other words, believe what you first said. Be not afraid, only believe. Because why? He doesn't want the man's initial belief replaced by this potential new belief, right? As soon, I love how the Holy Spirit puts these little things in the Bible. Rather than just saying, he said, as soon. What does that ascribe to the whole thing? A sense of immediacy on Jesus' part. Before you say anything, before you talk to these people, before you agree with these people, let me say something. And he doesn't replace his original thing. He says, be not afraid, only believe. Believe what? Your original belief, what was it? Come, lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. In other words, Jesus is saying that belief will not be superseded unless you go along with this new belief. But Jesus, she's dead. Be not afraid. Only believe. So they go into the house, and he suffered no man to follow him. Now listen to this. Save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Why do you think Jesus allowed no one to follow him? Because he's going to get many more of these comments and many more opportunities for this man to cave. I mean, you know, if the guy hears about 10 times from other people, she's dead, why are you troubling the master? The guy's just liable to say something, okay? So he didn't allow anybody else to follow him. He says, get these people away from here. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, saw the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. I mean, this is all a great atmosphere for belief. But the man still hasn't said anything else, so he's okay. And when he was coming, he said to them, why are you making this ado and weeping? The damsel's not dead, but sleeping. He's giving the man some more ammunition for his belief. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, there he is again, he's further subdividing the crowd, put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the little girl, and them that were with him, James, John, and Peter, and entered in where the little girl was laying. And what did he do? He took the damsel by her hand, he laid his hands on her, and he said unto her, Talitha kumma, which is being interpreted, damsel, or little girl, I say unto thee, arise. And she arose and walked. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. So here, I like this one because it shows, number one, that beliefs are formed by hearing. And he'd heard about Jesus. He'd formed a certain belief about Jesus laying hands on him. But beliefs can be replaced by hearing other things, too. And this man came in with new information that was in danger of replacing the man's original belief. He could have just thrown up his hand and said, oh, no, before we could get there, Jesus, she's dead. Well, see ya. And that would have been the end of that for that guy. So it's so important that we hear the right things. And so one of the things that we need to do if we're going to be successful is to hear God's word. But I think further than that, you're all here, you're at a Bible study, it helps if you know why you're hearing God's word. The same reason Jesus taught and Jesus preached. He spent all this time doing that, to destroy the devil's works. He had a purpose in doing that. And that was to form new beliefs in these people because they'd never heard the word of the kingdom before. And that's what we're still doing here. Whenever you come to the Bible study, and we'll talk more about this last second part next week, it's either to form beliefs or to strengthen beliefs. And as I heard a preacher say, if you get this established in your mind, you'll never go away disappointed. Because he says, so many people come and they say, oh, I've heard that before. I was hoping Pastor would teach on something new. But even if he doesn't, you're getting your beliefs strengthened. And Lord knows we need it. I mean, you know, when I was down there in Mississippi, I found out, I mean, my beliefs strengthened. I went in my room and got the Bible out and strengthened my beliefs in certain areas. So that's enough for tonight. So,
well, just being in the world, getting all the negative reports
every day
of what's going on everywhere, it cracks and drains you, so you have to be recharged.
And what does Jesus say? Be not afraid, only believe. Because I think this man that came with this news, thy daughter is dead, is symbolic of that word in the world that's battling us all the time. Even though we're reading God's word, there's always this thing coming in. Have you heard? This is what's happened. I've been diagnosed with this, or your daughter's already dead, or whatever it is. This is an outside thing coming in, wasn't it? Which can also cloud. It's a possibility of forming a new belief. And that's why we have to spend time in the word and not just to form a belief. Well, I've heard that, but to strengthen our beliefs. Yes.
When you speak your belief, don't be surprised if you're not. You're letting yourself open to ridicule.
Right.
Like there, Jesus, they laughed him to scorn. And many times, you'll find you're opening yourself up to possible ridicule. Not that it will always come, but kind of have to expect that because people aren't going to understand.
Some people cave. The second example of the parable of the sower caved for that exact reason. It said when tribulation or persecution arrived for the word's sake, he fell. Received the word with joy till then, until a little adversity came. And didn't we find here that adversity is always going to come? The Pharisees are always going to come out of the woodwork whenever the enemy is going to see somebody tries to steal that word, because this is dangerous. It's continually destroying his kingdom. Remember, Jesus came. He preached. He taught. Why? To destroy the works of the devil. And that's still going on today as we preach and teach. Mm-hmm. But you're exactly right. And
they walk by sight, not by faith.
Right.
Faith looks ridiculous.
But see, it's one thing to say that, but it's not as so easy unless we're constantly getting those beliefs reinforced.
That's right.
If we don't continue to hear these things and continue to feed on God's word and to listen to teaching takes when we can and to continually reinforce this, it's just like gradually going back, drifting back downstream again. And these things, you're never absolutely safe from these things. But you will be if you continue to hear, continue to strengthen those beliefs, continue to, you know, if they're new beliefs, to form new beliefs. So, you know, I think that helps a little bit to understand why we're here, to form beliefs. And if you look back over your lives for the last 4 or 5 years, I think you'll see God's progress in your lives just from hearing maybe something new you hadn't heard, maybe gotten a little out of your comfort zone for a while, hearing something new, and then all of a sudden that truth becomes established in your life and you move on to some new truth. So I think that's enough teaching for tonight. I got across the points I wanted to get across.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Okay, let's go over the homework for lesson 116. And the title of that lesson was
Five Steps to Success.
It's a series, but it was Hear God's Word, Part 1.
Part 1, yeah.
Okay, great. Let's go over it now. First question. True or false? The main works Jesus did were to preach, teach, and turn water into wine. True or false?
That'd be false.
That would be false. But what did we cover last week that Jesus' main works were what, Steve? You remember? Jesus went about all over Galilee teaching, preaching, and healing.
Yeah.
Healing was the other one. We majored on the preaching and teaching last week, but healing was the other one. Next question. Everything the Father and Jesus do has a blank and is done to blank something. Everything the Father and Jesus do has a
purpose.
They never do anything without a purpose. And it's done to
teach something.
Well, what did the outline say? All you have to do is read the outline.
Accomplish
something. In other words, everything the Father and Jesus do has a purpose and is done to accomplish something. True or false? Jesus and the Father had similar purposes. True or false?
False.
Why is it false, Steve?
Because Jesus did only those things that he heard and saw the Father do.
Right. So how would we make that statement true then? Jesus and the Father had
same
or identical purposes, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. They weren't dissimilar. They were stronger than that. Whatever thing Jesus did said he saw the Father do. It was the Father's will. Good. True or false? Jesus came to destroy the works of man.
False.
Whose works did he come to destroy?
The devil.
The works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 tells us that. Jesus came. That was a purpose. And he came for that purpose. Jesus also came for the purpose of giving man life more what?
Abundantly.
Abundantly. That's right. Good. What scripture tells us that?
John 10:10.
Okay, you're right there. True or false? Jesus is the same today as he was 10 million years ago. True or false?
Well, that's true. It could be forever, though.
Yeah. He's the same today, yesterday, today,
and
forever. Great. Where is that in the Bible, I wonder? It just happened to occur to me. I think it's Hebrews 13:8, isn't it? Yes.
Pastor preached a whole series on it.
Did he?
Pastor did, yeah.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love that. He's not a different Jesus today or in the future than he was before. What we saw on earth walking here, that love and compassion he still has.
He's dependable.
He's dependable, right. True or false? God's and our enemy, the devil, came to steal, kill, lie, deceive, and destroy. Now, don't, it's not God in there. God and our enemy. We both have the same enemy, God and us, right?
Right.
That's what I meant by the way it's worded there.
Oh.
God's enemy and our enemy, let's put it that way, the devil, came to steal, kill, lie, deceive, and destroy. Is that true or false?
That's true.
That's true. That's, I mean, in one place it said he came to steal, kill, and destroy. In another place he says he's the father of lies.
Yeah.
And in Revelations, another place it calls him the great deceiver. So all those things is what the symptoms of the devil's work. If we don't understand the purpose behind something, we will place greater value upon it, true or false?
I think that's false.
False. We said just the opposite last week. We said if we don't understand the purpose behind something, we will place less value upon it.
Yeah.
You know, when you understand the purpose behind something, you put greater value on it. That's the truth I'm trying to get there. And I was just trying to bring that truth out through that crazily worded question, which has the answer false. Okay. God's word becomes more important to us as we learn the purpose God had in giving it to us. True or false? True. When we understand the purpose behind something, we'll place more value on it. One purpose God had in mind in giving us his word was to form blank. What? Say it out loud. You're right. Beliefs.
Beliefs, right. Yeah.
That's the whole purpose that we covered last week's lesson. God's word is to form beliefs. We talked about the fact that Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. But that is kind of general. Specifically, all your beliefs come by hearing through your senses. And if you want to have word-based beliefs, you need to base them on the word. You need to get that word in you, because you can't have word-based belief without the word. So when the push comes to shove and life situations crowd in, you know, that's so you'll respond from your heart instead of from your flesh. You know, what does the word say instead of, oh my gosh, when the big cancer word comes or something like that, you'd be ready to respond from your heart instead of your flesh. Okay? So that's why he gave us his word, so we could respond from our hearts. Whenever we hear God's word, we will form a belief in what we hear. True or false?
True.
That's false, because it's the only way you're going to form a belief is by hearing God's word. But every time people hear God's word, they don't form a belief because they don't give it, pay his attention to it. I mean, what I'm saying is, not every time somebody hears God's word, they form a belief in what they heard. Some people resisted Jesus' word, didn't they? Pharisees heard his word, didn't they? They were too entrenched in their own religion, they didn't pay any heed to it. The devil steals it away. But the way you form beliefs is to truly hear God's word. That much is true. But everybody who mechanically hears it doesn't necessarily form a belief.
Yeah.
They have to act upon what?
Like people do it now.
Exactly.
Prayer service for someone who's going to be praying for healing, and some of the people there don't even believe it. Some of the people say it's God's will and things like that. They've heard it and heard it, but they still think it's God's will.
Exactly.
That someone's to be
saved. So, if you want to form a belief, you must hear the word. But everyone who hears the word doesn't form a belief in the word. That's all I'm saying. Some people, like the first person that heard God's word in the parable of the sower, they didn't believe it. They didn't take it. They didn't receive it. It says they didn't treat it with the proper value.
Right.
And Satan came immediately and stole that word. So they heard it, but it didn't do them any good. They didn't form a belief. But you just see what I'm saying? The way to form a belief based on God's word is to hear it. But everyone who hears it doesn't form a belief because they don't give it the proper value. But if you're going to form a belief, you need to hear it. So we have two groups of people. All heard the word, but some didn't believe it, and some did believe, formed a belief based on it. Okay? It's really up to the person. God doesn't make everyone who hears the word form a belief. He gives that faith. The faith is there for the taking, but it's up to the person to receive it. Is everybody clear?
Mm-hmm.
Why that's false? Name two instances where someone heard God's word but did not form a belief in what they heard. Here's some examples, for example. Think in the Bible. I've got about 10 of them listed here, just really quick I listed. But you give me two. Where's two instances in the Bible where someone heard God's word but did not form a belief in what they heard?
The rich young ruler who came and said, no, I can't give it all up.
Yeah, that's true.
He heard it.
He knew what was required. And he decided, you know, he just wasn't going to go along with that. That's true. How about the Israelites? Did they hear God's word said, I give you this land?
Oh, wow, yeah.
I mean, 10 of the 12 came back with a report that specifically contradicted God's word, didn't they?
They all saw the same thing.
They all heard the same thing. How about Pharaoh? He heard God's word several times through Moses, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Took 10 different plagues, didn't he, or something like that, before they finally let go? Here's a biggie. How about Adam and Eve? Did they hear God's word?
Yeah.
Did they form a belief based on it that supported action? No.
They should have.
It didn't support action. They heard it, but they went the other way, didn't they? How about Judas? Did he hear the word?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. How about Thomas? Hear the word? And then the disciples repeat exactly what Jesus said, in 3 days I'll be raised again. And they said, we've seen him, he's seen him. He still didn't believe it, did he? There's another example. See, it's very much up to us to treat this word with the proper value. You see, Bible people who heard this word, all the Pharisees and Sadducees heard the word, all right?
When they prayed for Peter, he was in jail.
And yeah.
They came and knocked at the door, they didn't believe he was actually...
I know. How about those in the boat with Jesus when the storm came up? Jesus said, we're going to the other side, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Storm came up and says, we're perish. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, what about what Jesus said about getting to the other side? Yes. Another one. You have one?
Yeah. Oh, hand up. I thought you were...
Oh, okay. All right, so there's some examples of people. See, now, is it clear? God's word is necessary to form beliefs that can get you out of trouble. But everyone who hears God's word doesn't form a belief simply because they don't treat it with the proper value, let alone act on it. That's something we're going to get to in a couple of weeks here. We must do more than hear mechanically. We must take heed to what we hear to form beliefs. True or false?
True.
To take heed or hearken, we must be teachable, which means to be positively disposed to learning or discovering additional truths beyond what we already know. Or, I might even add, that replace some beliefs that we already have. We must be teachable if we're going to go on with God. That's true. It also means giving God's word the respect due it by considering the source and treating it with the proper value. Well, that's obviously true, isn't it? When we don't give the word its proper value, it has no permanent access to our hearts, and the enemy will come along and steal the word, true or false.
True.
Boy, they're all true in here, aren't they? I got in a groove here. Usually try to mix in some falses. When we take heed to what we hear on a specific topic in God's word, beliefs will be formed that will be helpful. I should, in every area of life.
Now that's false.
I marked that true. I fooled myself. Actually, it should be false. I'll tell you why, and Steve's got it, but I want to make it very clear here. When we take heed to what we hear on a specific topic in God's word, beliefs will be formed that will be helpful on that topic. Okay, so in that sense, it would be false. Okay? I guess in every sense, because I said every area of life. Instead of, if I'd have said that specific area of life, it would have been true, right? Okay. There are blank primary kingdoms a Christian will deal with in our lifetime on earth. They are the blank system and blanks system. Okay, there are how many primary kingdoms a Christian will deal with in our lifetime on earth?
Two.
They are the world's system and
God's
system. Right, and they're at war against each other, mostly. True or false? Beliefs based on a particular kingdom system are formed by hearing and giving heed to the tenets or truths of that kingdom. Is that true or false? Beliefs based on a particular kingdom system are formed by hearing and giving heed to the tenets or truths of that kingdom. True or false?
True.
That's true. I mean, the people that aren't Christians and that are blindly going ahead based on the world system, they are giving heed to the tenets or truths, and I have it in quotes, of, yeah, it's not real truths, but of that system.
Yeah.
They're giving heed to that system.
Mm-hmm.
So beliefs based on God's kingdom are formed by hearing and giving heed to the tenets or truths of that kingdom. God's tenets or truths are contained in his what?
Word.
Word, or the Bible. True. Many who have been legally translated out of the world's kingdom still have many of their beliefs based upon its system. True or false?
True.
Unfortunately, true. We have people who are born again, even spirit-filled Christians, who are still basing their beliefs to a large degree, not their salvation belief, but other beliefs on healing, on how God, on prosperity, on how to address family problems, kid problems, money problems, based upon God, on the world system rather than God systems. And they don't even know it. That's what's kind of sad. God's cure, blank and blank. What is God's cure? What did we cover last week? What did God go around, Jesus go around doing?
Teaching and preaching.
Teaching and preaching. That's God's cure for ignorance. Teaching and preaching. Teaching and preaching. Teaching and preaching. Next question. The second reason for hearing God's word is to strengthen the beliefs we already have. True or false?
True.
Good. So we have the first reason was to form beliefs. The second reason, Paul went about all over going back to the places he went before. Even places who hadn't heard, he specifically went back to strengthen the beliefs that people already had. Because of what? There was a lot of persecution and things going on. And these people needed to have their beliefs strengthened. Many people have right beliefs, but the beliefs they have are not strong enough to support
action.
Action. Very good. Thank you. They got beliefs, but the beliefs still aren't strong enough in some cases to support action. That's why they need to have the word strengthened. Hear it again. Hear it again. Paul made his three missionary journeys to either form blank blank or to blank blank the people already had. He made his three missionary journeys to either form
beliefs
blank blank new beliefs, right?
Beliefs, right.
Or to blank blank the people already had.
Strengthen.
Strengthen beliefs the people already had. Very good. This could explain why the word blank is in Romans 10:17 twice. Well, it goes in there. Why the word
hearing,
right. Good, Seth. Is in Romans 10:17. Once hearing for blanking our beliefs, what?
Forming
our beliefs, and the second hearing for blank the beliefs we already have.
Strengthening
the beliefs we already have to the point they can support
action.
That's right. Last question. Once we realize the two functions hearing the word accomplishes and coming to hear the word with that purpose will never go away after hearing the word disappointed. Is that true or false?
True.
You know, that helped me when I thought about that, because sometimes even I'll go into a situation and think, man, I've heard that so many times, but that was a wrong attitude. Maybe my belief need to be strengthened in that area, you know? So that helped me. Okay, that completes our homework then for lesson 16.